Lord, we pray that you will open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word this morning. Amen. Last week, I was in a supermarket and behind me was a lady with a child. The child was about 6 or 7 and they asked her mother for something. Now, what they asked for, I haven't got a clue. But what I did hear was the mother's reply was, "No, you can't have it." To which the child uttered those immortal words, "Daddy lets me have it when I'm out with him." Something that I've heard from my grandsons on numerous occasions. My daughter's comment when asked by her young sons to buy a toy or whatever it is, she always says, "How much money have you got on you?" And the reply is always, "None." And her answer is, "Okay, so you can't have it then, can you?" Today's readings present us with two closely connected questions. Who is our master and whom do we welcome? At first glance, these passages seem unrelated. One speaks about sin and righteousness and the other about hospitality and welcoming disciples. But together they reveal a profound truth. The person we serve determines the way we treat others. If we belong to Christ, our lives become instruments of righteousness. And one of the clearest signs of that righteousness is how we receive and care for those whom God places before us. Paul issues a challenge. Do not let sin reign. Paul speaks with urgency. Don't let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies. He knew that Christians had been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, and we've received a new life. Yet the struggle is not over. Sin still seeks to rule our hearts. Paul uses the language of slavery, familiar to his audience. He says that everyone serves something. There is no completely neutral ground. We are either servants of sin or servants of righteousness. Modern people often believe freedom means doing whatever they want. And we've seen this recently with the riots over the death of Henry Novak and also the riots in Northern Ireland. Homes, businesses and vehicles were set alight across Northern Ireland during the riots. A number of people were made homeless after their properties were attacked and set fire by rioters going door to door, attempting to identify houses occupied by immigrants. The people who perpetrated this felt they were exercising their freedom at the expense of other people's property. And unfortunately, the media and the use of mobile phones and various other things didn't help. This and the other experiences show people who cannot control their anger are not free. People enslaved by greed are not free. People ruled by resentment are not free. People captive to addiction are not free. What we repeatedly follow eventually becomes our master. Paul therefore asks us to present ourselves to God, offering our minds, our words, our hands, and our actions as instruments of blamelessness. Christ's freedom is not the freedom to do anything, it's the freedom to do what is good. Paul then asks a pointed question, which Paul is very good at. Should we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? His answer is immediate. By no means. Grace is not permission to continue in sin. Grace is the power to live differently, as Catherine has talked about recently. Sometimes we imagine small compromises do not matter. A little dishonesty, a little selfishness, little indifference, but every habit shapes the heart. A tiny stream, as you see from time to time, carve a deep canyon over time. Likewise, small choices gradually form our character. Paul then reminds us that sin ultimately leads to death, not merely physical death, but separation from the fullness of life God desires for us. By contrast, obedience to God leads to righteousness, holiness, and life. Every day we choose which path we're strengthening. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus turns our attention from the inner struggle to the outward expression of discipleship. He says, whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. And welcoming is a very important feature here in St. Mary's. We have welcomers here. And I have to say, from time to time, I take my hat off to Lindsay because he's outside the church in all weathers quite often. And thank you, Lindsay. And welcoming is a vital part of St. Mary's. Everyone needs to feel welcomed, especially new people. I was talking to a young couple a few weeks ago who were travelling on a canal boat. They said how welcoming and friendly the church was. And as a congregation, we need to make sure we continue to talk, especially to those who are here for the first time. These words of Jesus were welcoming, remarkable words. Jesus identifies himself with his disciples. To receive one of Christ's followers is to receive Christ himself. To welcome Christ is to welcome the Father. Hospitality in the ancient world was not merely politeness. It involved opening one's home, sharing food, offering protection, and showing generosity. Jesus teaches that even the smallest act of kindness has eternal significance. A cup of cold water may seem significant, yet when offered in love, becomes precious in God's sight. The kingdom of God often grows through ordinary acts that the world barely recognizes. Righteousness should become visible. And notice how these readings connect. Paul says, offer yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. And Jesus shows us what righteousness looks like. Welcoming the stranger. Encouraging the weary. Supporting those who serve the gospel. Showing kindness to the vulnerable. Giving even a cup of water. Righteousness is not merely avoiding sin. It's actively participating in God's goodness. Many people think that holiness is something reserved for saints whose statues stand in churches. But Jesus points to simple actions available to everyone. Now, not everyone can preach. Not everyone can teach. Not everyone can lead. But anyone can welcome. Everyone can encourage. Everyone can give. Everyone can show compassion. The smallest act done in Christ's name becomes part of God's work. The gospel challenges us to see more deeply and see Christ in others. When Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, teaches us to recognize his presence in other people. And this is often difficult. It's often to see Christ in saints rather than ordinary people. It's easier to welcome those who are like us rather than those who are different. It's easier to be generous when gratitude is guaranteed. I remember the time that Princess Diana, when she was alive, went to some people that had AIDS. And the media was aghast. What is she doing? But she was showing compassion and love. Yet Christ comes to us disguised in the needs of others. The lonely person who needs a listening ear. The newcomer who feels out of place. The struggling family, the elderly neighbour, the child seeking attention. The person who cannot repay our kindness. Every encounter becomes an opportunity to receive Christ. Jesus speaks repeatedly about reward. This does not mean earning God's love. God's love is already given freely. Rather, Jesus teaches that God notices every act of faithfulness. Nothing done in love is wasted. The world measures success by size and visibility. God measures faithfulness by a hidden prayer, a quiet sacrifice, a simple act of generosity, a cup of cold water. God sees them all. Many Christians become discouraged because they feel their contribution is small. But Jesus assures us that no act of love escapes God's attention. In the kingdom of God, small things really do matter. Both readings invite us to make a choice. Paul asks, who will be your master? Jesus asks, how will you treat those who come in my name? If Christ is truly our Lord, then our lives will reflect his character. We must resist the power of sin that seeks to dominate us. We will present ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness, and that righteousness will become visible through simple acts of welcome, generosity, and love. May we choose daily to serve Christ rather than sin, and may we recognize Christ in every person we are given the opportunity to welcome. And in welcoming Christ, we welcome Christ himself. So let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word and for the grace you give us through your Son. Help us to turn away from all that leads from you and to offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness. May our eyes recognize Christ in those we meet each day. Make us generous in welcome, faithful in servant, and ready to serve you in your love through even the smallest act of kindness. Strengthen us by your Spirit that we may follow you more clearly and bear witness to your goodness in all we do. Amen.